Okay, we'll drive it from the back there, sorry. So my name's Doug Rolfe. I work 2 days a week at the Alternative Technology Association of Melbourne. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. I'm also a member of the... A member of the... I've got a bit of a cold coming on too, so my voice might not carry. The ATA has branches, and there's a local ATA branch in Geelong, which is an electric vehicle group. I'll tell you a bit about that. But I'm also connected to the Transition South Darwin, and so I know a few people from around there. Here we go. All right. So, yep, Benjamin. So the ATA is an association. It's a membership-based association. We also do general advocacy and community work. There's about 5,500 members Australia-wide. It's been going since about 1980. So it was a very different organisation back then. So, yep. We do these three main things. So projects and advocacy work, which is probably about a third of our budget comes from that work. We do a lot of communications work. We've got a large comms team, about three or four permanent staff just in that area. And then sort of broader membership services, so those 5,500 members and about another 7,000 subscribers or so through magazines. So there's a lot of, there's about three admin staff plus myself just working and servicing members. Thanks, Tom. I'll skip through the advocacy stuff pretty quickly. We do a fair bit in water. Sorry, it's probably pretty hard to read from there. It's pretty hard for me to read from here, turning around. But especially when we were in the middle of the really harsh drought, we were doing a lot of good project work, a lot of grey water work was done in conjunction with the ATA. We set up a website called the Tankulator so people could calculate how big a tank they needed, that they wanted so much water, and how big was their roof area, what was their average rainfall, and all those sorts of things. So that's the sort of stuff we did in water. Next one. The real focus for us now that we're getting a little bit more rain than we have in, say, the last 5 years, is in energy. And so we've got two full-time staff just working in energy policy and advocacy work. Some of it's project work for government and other organisations, like large institutions like MECU, so large organisation wants to transform their business to something more sustainable, or their energy mix and what they're purchasing. They'll do it through some project work with us. We do a lot of smaller studies, like payback times for solar PV, or is it cost effective to have battery-backed grid-based systems now that the feed-in tariff has gone through the toilet. And we did some good work on small-scale urban wind. I was doing a fair study of that to see whether it was actually a sensible idea, whether you're getting a good energy return in the suburbs, which with most normal little wind turbines you don't. Okay, thanks, Tom. And the other major project we do is in East Timor, so setting up some very small scale solar systems, a couple of little panels, simple little lights, usually compact fluorescent lights, probably moving towards LED based lights. And that's a really cool part of the organisation. So we had a Christmas sort of funding drive to support this last Christmas, raised about 30 grand. There's four volunteers going over in a couple of weeks' time to install hundreds of small-scale solar systems through East Timor. And if you know anything about the developing world, then usually it's fires and the pollution that goes with that, or it's kerosene lamps and the pollution and the cost and everything that goes with that. So let's go to the next one. So we published two magazines. One's the Renew magazine. It's a very do-it-yourself type thing. Solar, winds, micro-hydro, energy-efficient appliances, stuff like that. That magazine's, I think, on its 125th issue, 4 issues a year, so it's been going almost as long as the organisation has. Go to the next one. Very sustainable house day. This one is the Sanctuary magazine, sort of energy-efficient, passive solar, housing, mostly architect design, all the plans are in there, and it's a sort of a little bit more acceptable to the class and so forth. Whereas the Review magazine is people out there in their sheds, it's much more organic gardening style, a bit more earth garden, you know. And the rest of the communications is mainly web based, so So we've got multiple websites, the main ATA website, and we've got a renew website, a sanctuary website. We've got brand websites for all the branches. And again, that's really the same thing. Go to the next one. And we do a lot of events, so we'll attend some housing shows, and we'll actually put on some events and film nights and stuff like that. Most of that happens through the branches, though. Okay, the next one, thanks, John. Okay, so we also have some experts on staff who members can phone in and talk to. The general public can as well, so if you ring on, I think it's a Wednesday lunchtime, you can even just, anyone else can get a hold of someone who can tell you about solar panels, so you can tell you about wind generators or electric cars or whatever it might be, or I need a new fridge, can I get an energy efficient one, what do I do? So it's a real go-to place for that sort of information. We quite often consider ourselves to be like the Choice magazine, but for alternative energy and renewable and energy efficient appliances and that sort of stuff. Branches, this is where I came. So across Australia there's 14, 15 active branches. They meet roughly monthly, they get 40 to 80 people roughly attending. Sometimes they run events that get a few hundred people and whatnot. So they're just collections of members, 100% volunteer, much like GS2 or Transition South Island, that sort of model. The lucky thing is, now go back, sorry, I'm just referring to my notes. We go back one? Back one? No, thank you. Of those branches, two of those branches are specifically interested in electric vehicles, one in Geelong and one in Melbourne. That'll do for that. And skip that one, there's some pretty pictures of people with houses and tanks, and it's like ATA pictures. Okay, so the next one. So this is Peter Reeves, our local convener of the U branch. This is exactly what we're about, is getting under the bonnet of cars and turning them into electric cars. And this is the stuff that I actually really like. So these are all members' vehicles that have been on display at different places. And we may see some of these vehicles at the Sustainable Power Day working with people, making that possibly happen. That white one that just went past is the one that's at my place the other day. We just pause here, go back one. And yeah, stop there. So this is what was sort of on the road in 2012. So we're doing the standard stuff. That's that green one. Here now. There we go. That's an English vehicle made in 1972. Pure aluminium body. It's still on the road. It's done hundreds of thousands of kilometres, and it's from one of our members. It was upgraded a number of times. And once you get an electric car, it's on its original motor, its original electronics, and whatever that is, 40 years later. Now that is 1912. So this is actually, in some ways, the new technology. And that had about 40 kilometres an hour, 45 kilometres an hour, had 160 kilometre range. Wow. And that was 100 years ago. So anyway, there you go. And the last one, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook and YouTube and all that sort of stuff. So that's it. That's the ATA.